This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
You're listening to the best of FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Our lovely Stephen isn't with us, he's away, but we've flown in someone even sexier. Jack Fowler, welcome! We got very excited because we've got another guest, Ricky Garnaccio! Hello, Ricky! I'll just call you Ricky.
Every year.
We loved you on Geordie Shore. Do you miss not doing it?
No.
But I have to say that. Ricky, I loved you when you did Celebrity Big Brother. I mean, that must have been one hell of an experience for you. You're glad it's over?
It was boring.
Every Thursday on 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
I'm very excited. We have the two hottest boys that were in Love Island. They are the hottest.
Charmer.
And they shouldn't have left.
Absolute sweet talk.
I've switched off since you boys have gone.
Oh, thank you ever so much. Damn.
Well, Callum and Sharif, welcome.
Sharif and Callum.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us, mate.
Is it good to be out? Be honest. Is it? Were you gutted?
I was gutted. I'll be honest. I was devastated. It's so much fun in there. It is really, really good fun in it.
And how long was it in the end?
Just, I had six days.
Well, yeah, no, it wasn't even a week.
No, literally.
Tough times.
I know, gutting, but... what are you thinking, Sharif?
Sharif's very quiet in the corner. Come on.
I'm just thinking my experience was different to you. Yeah. So, obviously... at first I was just a bit gutted, but more so because I had to leave so abruptly. It wasn't because I got voted out or something. But it hit hard at first, but I just kind of saw the brighter things of it. And
but sure, you a bit gutted on. Because you didn't, it was all a bit accidental what happened with you. And, I mean, if you could tell the viewers, are you allowed to talk about it? Because not everyone knows exactly what went on.
Well, not to go into too much detail, I basically was like play fighting with someone and accidentally hit them somewhere and
the groin.
basically.
Well said.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that hurts.
That
happened to me in a netball match. It does happen. But she was all right. She didn't get told off for it. So it was accidental, and it was just one of those.
Yeah, it was just one of those ones where.
Make a bit of a scene about it, or was
it? No, not at all. So, like, the perspective was obviously taken off of it, and they just basically said it was unacceptable and I had to go.
It's better than getting. I just didn't have anyone pick me. So,
fair enough.
First weekend, no one picked me and I had to leave.
Was it quite difficult, Sharif, when you came out? There was a lot of reports about the reasons why you'd been booted out.
Yeah.
Like what?
That was.
Masturbating in this. I read one that you might have even done a shit in the shower. That must have been. How the hell, what are you supposed to do when those kind of rumours are going around about you and you're not in control of it?
Yeah, at the end of the day...
There's fake screen grabs and
exactly.
All these things.
What am I actually supposed to do? And I'm one of those people, I'm not going to freak out over something I have no control over, one. And number two, that isn't true or even close to the truth.
Mm.
So, yeah, it didn't really bother me in that sense, but yeah, I did.
Did you know that you were going to have to come out and say what really happened?
Yeah. I feel like as the speculation like grew, I knew that I'd have to come out at some point and... tell it how it was.
Wait, how were your family about it? Were they cool? Were they a bit upset?
To be honest, they didn't really see
care.
That I... yeah, not that they didn't care. They cared, like, in a sense, about my situation, how it went down and, like, how people were perceiving me. But they didn't really care about what I'd done in the grand scheme of things. Because, I feel like they thought that was the nature of the villa. And two, I think that they thought, it was just... Is that the reason you got kicked off a show like that? Do you know what I mean? So they didn't really care in that sense, but obviously they cared about my situation.
Were you gutted when the producer said, "I'm sorry, you've got to go"? Did your heart sink?
So this is the funny question. Everyone asked me this question, and only occurred to me the other day. I was like half awake when they were speaking to me. They literally just pulled me out of bed, and I just walked up to the beach hut, and then I was being told like what happened here and.
So you weren't really with it.
Did you go back down? Did you go back down to see it?
I didn't go back down. I went. Oh. You see, when you go up to the beach hut, there's that door.
Yeah.
I can't really talk about production. There's that door. That's fine. I just went out
you
there.
You went out there. Was everyone up? Was it the morning
no
you woke
one was up?
Up?
It was like, I would reckon, a couple hours before.
Someone came and grabbed you.
Someone just came and grabbed
me. I get it. Yeah. They grabbed you and pulled you out the side door.
So,
You didn't get time to say goodbye to anyone. You
didn't get
gone.
Time to say goodbye to anyone. Didn't pack my bags. Didn't do anything.
But this thing that the incident didn't even air, did it? I was actually away when it happened.
Literally, there was a small reference made to the fact that I'd left the villa, like a one-liner, and that was it.
From Anna.
Is that not harsh?
Yeah, from Anna and from the narrator.
Do you think that's quite harsh that you just pulled out the side door, couldn't say goodbye, couldn't get your belongings?
If I wasn't someone so strong, I think this would have definitely like affected me like a lot.
Mm.
But yeah, I consider myself to be like pretty tough mentally. So,
have they offered you aftercare?
They've offered me aftercare. Yeah, there's
in light of what's happened before.
The standard
recently.
Procedure. So, I think it's 8 weeks or 8 sessions with review after each one that you do, and like you do social media training and stuff like that.
Do you have a little cry, or did you go, "What the hell"?
In all honesty, yeah, I did have a cry, but it wasn't like because they were telling me I was going home. I was just like. Got taken to another villa and I had to spend a day there before I got a flight home, and I was speaking to my mum and like my brother and all of that, and it just looked a lot worse than it was. And like we cleared it up when I got home, but I was worried for her, and like because my mum was just like, yeah, like my son's like doing his thing on TV kind of thing, like the whole community's behind him and stuff like that.
So you're kind of feeling I've let them down, but you didn't really do anything.
But my mum on the other hand's thinking about me, and she's just thinking that, oh, okay, well, Sharif's probably like torn from this, but I wasn't. So we were both like thinking about each other, and that's why I was upset. Mm. But when we got back, it was just like, oh, you're worried about me, and I'm worried about you. I'm fine. Like, so yeah.
But you're strong. Thankfully, you're a strong character to get through it.
Yeah.
And what's it been like for you, Callum, since you've been out?
Yeah, busy. It's been really good. But I did cry when I left as well.
Oh, yeah. You cried?
Yeah. I was gutted. Absolutely gutted.
You held it down, though. I'm not going to lie.
Everyone else was crying when we left, and because I was the first one. Everyone's crying, and I was just like, oh, I'm chilled. And then when I got in the room or the villa back on my own, I was like, chin started going.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
I miss everyone. Because you do miss them, don't you? Yeah, because you come so close to each other in there, and it's just like, oh. And you're watching them, and that's the worst. You're watching them every night, and you're thinking, I want to be there, having the fun that they're having, doing the challenges.
Any chance of you going back in?
I don't think so. Never say never.
Plot twist.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? They've done it before.
They should.
But they haven't said nothing to me yet. Okay. But
I'm going
to
complain they get you back in there. FUBAR Radio presents...
I am joined by Armistead Maupin. How are you doing?
I'm living. I met my husband on a website called Daddy Hunt, but... I was walking down the street and saw him and recognized him from Daddy Hunt. So I knew he liked men over 45. Everybody's straight and gay meets their true love online. It's real easy to do when you've got the internet and you can find exactly what you wanted. You got it so easy. In my day, we had to walk 20 miles through the snow just to suck a cock.
Every Wednesday. Callum McSwiggan. From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Today I am... unbelievably excited. I've got an excitable bundle of joy in the studio with me today. It's the incredible Sophie Anderson.
Oh my goodness. Hey, babes. Hi, guys and girlies.
So, Sophie, you have a legacy of being a bit of a cock destroyer.
Oh, babe. Now, love that cock. I know you do. Dick, babes.
I do as well. for any of our listeners who don't understand like why you're a cock destroyer and where that came from, I mean, for a start, they've been living under a rock. But do you want to tell us how you became a cock destroyer and how you earned that title?
So should we go back a bit?
Let's go back a bit. Let's rewind.
Let's go right back. So I think I've always been a bit of a cock destroyer, babe. You know, even from being like back at school, I was like. You know, I've always been really, really sexual. You know, I had that like fire in me that's like burning and burning. But being honest with you, it's only been like a couple of years ago when I first came out then doing porn. I was like, I love this. Yeah. I'm on film and I love being with like people who love it.
Yeah.
Well, so it's first of all, it's like the porn community. And now it's like the whole gay community. And it's like, it's behind me and I love them all. It's just like amazing.
It really is amazing. And I think you and Rebecca Moore, who is your fellow cock destroyer.
My baby. Yeah, that's it.
I think it's it's amazing how the two of you, and I mean, I think this is something that's quite difficult to do, is to get gay men interested in female porn stars.
Definitely.
But you have, you know, you've created this kind of, people are obsessed with you. The two of you have become gay icons. All of my gay friends love you. They adore you. They yeah. worship the ground you walk upon.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. Do you know what though? I think it's because that, you know, it's cock destroying for me is living for cock. You know, so every time, yeah. like, I did something last week, dick mode, and yeah, I was like,
the robot,
right,
I saw it.
Babe, I am robot. I am getting, I'm even doing robotic moves now. Like, I am in dick mode, babe. Don't worry, babe, so I won't jump on you just yet. No, literally. And it was, you know, it isn't just for performance. It's like, I love dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love it.
You identify as bisexual yourself, so you
definitely.
Know you are, you talk about
definitely.
The LGBT plus community, but you are part of it, you know.
Yeah.
you're there with us.
Oh my God, I so am. And then this is what I mean, where I found something that is my baby, like yeah. you're all my babies, you know.
Aww.
And I absolutely love it. I finally found myself, and that's what it lights, like, it makes you smile because it's, I've been accepted.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, and I just, all I want to do now is kind of give back.
Yeah,
that's what I really do. And I have young guys and girls who do message me and DM me on Twitter, and they're like, I'm really struggling, you know, I can't come out to my parents. And I mean, I was very lucky. My dad was like, you do whatever you want to do, you know? And he's like, you be who you want to be, whether you're with a man, a woman, or, you know, a transsexual. He's great.
Yeah.
But not everyone has that support.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we just need a like, someone to come in and grab you and go, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
It really is. And there are lots and lots of support out there. Like, I know there's all different support groups and everything. I really want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I really do. In another way, I don't know how and these big companies would feel about kind of a porn star escort, like,
yeah.
coming in. So that's the only thing, like, charities, because I know.
But I think it depends on the charity and the organisation. I think there are so
definitely.
Many organisations and things that would welcome you,
yeah,
because, you know, you are doing a positive thing.
Oh my
There's
God,
nothing
yeah.
negative to
oh,
what
no.
you're doing.
No, no, of course not. And I do think, like, helping people, that is just like, oh my God, so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really, really
and
important.
Yeah, I think so too. Yes, it's just such an amazing. And this whole Cock Destroyers has done this, you know. And even young guys and girls are like, wow. Wow. And young girls are going, I had a picture today, brilliant. She had like a key ring and she had, it was like a little sperm in her mouth.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh my God, that is like so, so super cool. But how wicked that young girls can even feel they can put pictures on Twitter like that. I mean,
open up about their sexuality. Oh my,
yes.
And yeah.
And young women even feeling like that,
yeah.
because I know that I couldn't, and I would never have done that. But for me, and I retweet the picture, I'm like, yes, babes,
yeah.
yes, babes, I'm with you, you know, all the way. And I
do,
think that's such an important thing.
I do think it's really important. And I think it's something that perhaps people don't quite give you credit for, is the fact that you are putting yourself out there so openly and so honestly.
Yeah.
You are telling other people that, you know what, it's fine to seize hold of your sexuality, whether that's,
yeah.
you know, just coming out as gay or bisexual, or whether that's saying, you know what, I feel hypersexuality, I want to explore
yeah.
that, I want to go to a sex party, I want to do this,
it's
I want to do this. You're normalizing that. And it's so needed in this kind of, like, very stuffy, uptight society that we have.
I agree. And now, the thing is, I think, is really important is to have parents to take control, have that communication with their children. And, you know, if my son, if he watched something online, I'd want him to come to me
yeah.
and go, Mum, right, I saw this. I don't know what it is. Even the extreme stuff, you know, I know
yeah.
in myself, I know he would come to me.
That's amazing.
Because we have that relationship. And I think, you know, people just need to be more open about it, and parents, and being able to talk about it, and in schools and everything. Do you know, I heard yesterday as well that they didn't start until 2003 to start talking about kind of homosexual relationships.
Yes,
there
was
it was forbidden
in school, in fact.
What?
You weren't allowed, there was section 28 legally prevented you from talking about it with students.
I can't believe that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's outrageous.
Exactly. And I think all we need to do, like I said, is get that communication with our kids and make sex a real positive thing.
Absolutely. And that is why you're here today, Sophie.
Yeah,
we're thrilled to have you here today.
Tuesday Takeover with Tom Aspel on FooBar Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm Tom Aspel, and I am taking over FooBar Radio with my podcast, Bottle Pop, live for the first time ever. So first up, I've got one half of Jack and Joel, Jack Remington, who is absolutely fantastic. So how are you feeling, Jack? You're a bit
warm, late.
You know, you're sweaty a little bit, but yeah, you're cooling down now.
I am.
It's hell out there. Absolute hell.
It is.
I hate talking about the weather, but it is really...
And during Pride Month as well.
I know, it's a soup, it's isn't it? I love your top.
Thank you.
I was just saying how this is Pride Month, so everyone's either gay or gay adjacent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for this one show, just one special. But Jack, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a singer. I'm in a duo called Jack and Joel.
Jack and Joel.
And we've been singing together since uni, so maybe like 4 or 5 years now.
Fab.
And that's me. I very much enjoy entertaining.
You do, don't you?
And
you are
singing,
funny.
Being a little, you know...
Just a little firecracker.
Just a little firecracker.
He's like 1 foot taller than me as well. We were just having pictures taken. I was like, sit down, Jack.
You
I can't
know.
Take it.
You'd never know.
But you were in X Factor 2017.
Yes.
God, that, does that feel like a lifetime now?
Mm, it does.
Simon's wild card.
Correct.
Yeah.
And he didn't like us, but that's fine.
He doesn't like anyone,
no,
though.
That's true. It was a corker. We had a cracking time.
And you're still with Joel, still making music, as we just heard.
Musically with Joel, yes.
You're still with Joel. Yeah, Joel's straight, isn't he?
Yeah, Joel's got a girlfriend. She's yeah. We love her.
I've got 2 glasses for us, because we're going to do a little toast. Oh, you've got one.
I've got, well,
yeah,
you can have a third.
I know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, every episode of Bottle Pop, my podcast, I like to pop a bottle.
Correct.
I've had some teetotal people on, actually. So I just had the whole bottle for the whole for the whole of the podcast.
Well, I'm sorry.
I've also done one where I got so drunk. I'm not glamorizing this, but I didn't save it. So I had to call the guy after and be like, can we just do it over the phone, please? Because I didn't save it. Yeah. I'm a bit nervous because all I've eaten today is Strepsils.
Yeah, I've not eaten much. I was thinking that on the way here.
Here we go. Let's get that sound. Oh,
yeah, clean.
Lovely. Pass your glass.
Mm.
Yeah, so let's crack this open. Where's
is
it from?
ASMR.
It is. That's nice. Mm. There we go. Where's it from?
I recognise that. Is it a...
Morrison's.
Oh, I hope so.
Thanks, Abby. Thank you. It's from Morrison's, guys. There are other Proseccos available.
Love Morrison's, though.
I really wanted to turn this podcast into just, like, a Prosecco review. Do you know what I mean?
Is that not what it is?
Appley. So, we're going to make a toast. Have you prepared one for us?
No, but...
Well, you should have, Jack.
I have.
It's okay.
Well, obviously, it's to Miranda, so
to
it's
Miranda.
Fine. To Miranda's face, which we shall explain.
To Miranda.
If anyone listening hasn't...
Love you, Miranda. Happy birthday,
love
Miranda.
You from FooBar
Missing
Radio.
You. Loving your face.
And have a super birthday.
Happy birthday, Miranda. Happy birthday, Miranda. Well, I can't not talk about this, because all I've been thinking about for the last month... It's been a month now, hasn't
it?
Well, since it blew up, for me, anyway.
Oh, my God, yeah, maybe it has.
I first heard of it... Obviously, we follow each other on Twitter, but mm-hmm. I just saw this video, and I just scrolled past it. I was like, oh, Jack's just doing another vlog of something.
Oh, did you? Okay,
no, I didn't.
Cool.
Anyway,
yeah,
no, but
sure.
I saw it, and it was you and your friend, and I didn't even know what the context was, because I hadn't seen the original video.
Nor did I, basically.
It was basically... I mean, we could lose people with this, because you have to explain it.
Yeah.
But you were... It was on your friend's Facebook.
No, this is what's mad about it. It was like my friend's 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 friend. It was honestly about 7 connections away. So basically, I don't even know how it got into our purview.
Yeah.
But basically, it was my mate's whatever connection.
Yeah.
Found this video of a woman with her husband wishing happy birthday to this Miranda. Miranda's not in the video because she lives in New York. So the video is at the top of the shard, happy birthday, Miranda. Missing you, loving your face.
Loving your face.
But the best thing was, it's one of those private messages that's like really cute, you know, and like...
In jokey.
But you should send it to your friend privately. But she put it as a Facebook status, which is what was so iconic about it. So then somehow it made its way back to us. We screen recorded it. And then everywhere we go, if someone mentions the word face or like miss you, love you, we're like missing you, loving your face.
Oh, God.
And that's when it took off. So I just put it on my Instagram story. And the rest was history, Tom.
But since then, it has gone viral. Like, hasn't it 250,000 views or something? Or more than that? Or
no, like nearly 400,000 on Twitter now.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I know.
And Greg James put it on his radio. Radio show. And then the twist, which I am obsessed with, is who is it that your friend that makes the Spotify playlists where it's like happy birthday?
Joe Gunn. Oh my god.
So Joe is like an icon unto himself.
He just edits everything on Twitter, and he's just iconic.
He found the lady who made the video.
No, I think... How or did he not? Find them? Someone did. I don't actually think it was Joe, but we found the woman who made the video and then obviously searched in her following the name Miranda, so found...
And
this,
you found Miranda.
Which I thought up until that point...
Wasn't a real
was
person.
Kind of, she was more like a religion.
Yeah.
Or like a kind of a theory of being, but not an actual, like, vestibule of humanity.
Yeah.
So, turns out... She's a real woman. She's absolutely stunning. She was voted FHM's 47th most attractive woman in 2006.
Did she tell you that?
No, but it's on her Wikipedia page. So she didn't need
she's got a Wikipedia.
Yeah, she's got a Wikipedia page. Do you know what? I haven't told you this.
What?
She's Croatian. She's invited me to Croatia with her in summer.
Wow.
Like IRL, we might just go on holiday to Dubrovnik together.
And the woman who, Sam Samra
Hayes,
who I absolutely adore.
Icon of our times,
She loves you, doesn't she? Because you've literally like filled her life.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
She's
I think we should play the clip just because people might not understand. So this is it. I'm going to lip sync it.
So am I.
Let's do it.
Happy birthday, Miranda.
Oh, it's ASMR.
From Shard in London. Missing you. Loving your face.
Love it.
And have a super birthday.
Happy birthday, Miranda, from London. We will come and see you in New York after Christmas. So from London,
from London to New York.
To New York.
Love you, babes.
London to New York.
London to New York. Love you, babes. Oh, God, it's iconic. The best thing for me is the view is awful.
Like, oh, it's foul.
Papers and synthetic lubrications playing you like top 40 stations.
I you know the deal. Time-lapse footage of duct tape lies.
Animal frequencies piercing the odorized nose. Cosmetic procedures on the cartilage of apocalypse.
Manicured tycoons with airport piano bar mistakes.
Remodeling conjugal Antarcticus. Flexing like suburban Spartacus. Getting smacked up by unemployed hand models. Running out to the middle of traffic with Beaujolais bottles.
Thank you.
presents Harriet Rose.
Please welcome Young in the building.
Hello.
Now, are you going to be coming and doing some London shows soon?
Hopefully, yeah. Always want to come back to London.
We actually played recently, didn't we, in London? Was it in Brixton?
Brixton, yeah.
What was the crowd? What was the energy
there
like?
There was like 10,000 people there when we got there. I had to fight through the crowds to get there, and then all these people fighting us off, and then I did like 3 backflips off stage.
I feel like that bit is true.
Backflips happen, but...
With those legs.
These legs can't backflip.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Molly Ashcroft's here.
Hey.
How you doing, babes? You're a bit tired, aren't you?
I'm a bit tired today, and also it's so hot outside.
I know. It makes me so happy. But it's really cool in here, which is nice.
Yeah, it's really nice in here.
White Light is your debut release,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my debut single, yeah.
That's exciting.
It's very weird.
Yeah, because if you've been writing and stuff for other people as well...
Since I was 14.
And suddenly you're putting yourself forward. How does that feel?
Weird. Actually frightening. Like, I had a bit of a mental breakdown immediately after because I'd waited for like 7 years to release something. And I'd felt like it was going to be this big like, haha moment, and it wasn't. And I was in denial about it for a long time.
But it isn't though. And that's the weirdest thing, I think... It's like with any profession in this industry.
Yeah.
People always go, God, that all happened quickly for you. And it's like, no, it didn't. It happens in the weirdest way because that song could get picked up.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
And it could be like the biggest song on the planet.
Yeah, but there's those moments like stuff I do with my job where I'm scared to do it.
Yeah.
And it's because I don't want to do it because it's something that's not necessarily what I do.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes even like when we do red carpets and stuff, it's scary.
Yeah.
Because you're on a red carpet and it's like intimidating and you're talking to like,
yeah,
you know, people that really know what they're talking about. And when you, after I do it, I'm like, that was sick.
Yeah, always.
And I loved
also,
it, but like,
you have to accept that with all jobs, whether that be in Tesco, whether that be in whatever it is you do, mm-hmm. there are elements of jobs that you do not like. Every job.
Yeah.
Like, and I think accepting that, there are parts of things, like I love sitting and talking to people, meeting people, that's my favourite thing, and being in the studio, and I love performing, but I hate having my photo taken. I'll be at a shoot and I'll be like, I swear I pulled a weird face, like I can't stand it.
Tell me about it, and I do it fucking like 10 times a day.
And then you look at them and you just think, you know what, at this point, take them, put them out.
That's what I feel. Fine. I'm like, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, I've given up caring about it.
But you're beautiful, so it's fine. Oh, you've got great nails.
Oh, thank you.
Nails looking on fleek, baby.
Yeah.
Love them.
Love my nails.
Are they real? Are they?
Oh, no, God.
So I used to get the put-on ones.
The acrylic ones,
acrylics.
Yeah.
But I just bit them off. Like, I don't bite my nails.
Is it a nervous thing?
I don't bite my nails. No, I just... I'd crack them or... Basically, I'm just really bad with nails.
No, babe, you can't.
I know.
You can't. You need to see my guy, Tony. This is going to sound mental, but my nail guy has 2 fingers. And he does my nails the most even anyone on the planet has ever done my nails.
Wow.
He's a legend. He's called Two Finger Tony.
Is he?
He is. We all call him that. And I will go anywhere to get my nails done by him. And I'll like pay for him to come to... He's amazing.
Do you know what? My girl Elise does mine and she's fucking sick. And she does the patterns and shit on my nails.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but now
yeah.
she knows that like I can't look... It's not hurt because they're really good, but I bite them off.
Yes. No, it's bad for your nails. You shouldn't do that.
I know. That's why I don't do it anymore. I just have gels. And they do
grow
quite long. Yeah,
gels are good for your nails.
Yeah, they're nice.
They're good for them.
I feel sexy when I got a bit of nail polish on, you know? Yeah. Now, everybody in the world, and if you say no, you are lying.
You're lying,
everybody tells white lies.
Yes.
Now, there's a good...
Some sound worse than white lies.
Yeah.
Majority of people lie.
Yes, but I think sometimes the only reason I ever lie is to protect somebody's feelings.
Yes, or yourself.
Yeah. So, like, say you don't want to go out to something, so you make up a white lie about having the shits. You know, that's a white lie.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most regular white lie you tell?
Oh, my God, that is such a scary question because I'm sure it's all the time.
My most regular white lie is...
Mine's about my diet. I'll be like, I'm a vegan and I ate like a McChicken sandwich last week. Like my best friend.
You're my favourite kind of person as well because I'm like.
Say this to me. He'll be like, you're not a vegan, hun. And I'll be like, I fucking am. I am a vegan. And he'll be like, you had a McDonald's last week. And I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, literally though, one vegan meal and you think you're vegan. That's a very good white lie though. That's a great example of the perfect white lie.
Yes.
The biggest, probably most common time I white lie is when I pretend that I'm happy with something that I'm not happy with.
Oh, really?
Like, I go, oh my God, yeah, I love it. And then I walk away and I'm like,
do you think that's like the presenter in you though?
Yeah,
like,
probably.
I think it is. Because I can't do that. If I'm in a bad mood, you're going to know. And I hate it about myself, but also it makes me, as an artist who I am, I'm
absolutely
so transparent. Like,
yeah.
I'm one of those people that if I'm in a bad mood, everyone will just feel weird. Like,
no, I think
I'll
I'm like that
as known.
Well. I think
yeah,
I'm like
I can
that
sense
well.
That from you.
I can definitely hide it. But like, if I'm with the people that see it are like my personal trainer.
Oh.
No, but like my personal trainer. So I'll go in.
Yeah.
And it's like, he knows straight away and he changes what he gives me.
Really?
Yeah, so like I went in on Monday and I was really tired and a bit anxious, so he changed the whole session.
Oh,
he didn't even say anything to me. He just goes,
nice.
We're gonna do this, because he can tell that I am gonna fucking kick off, because it's that kind of thing where I go, well, I don't want to. I don't want to do that.
I'm like that.
Yeah.
What if I don't want to? Why not? Just because I don't. They'll go, do this. Well, maybe I don't want to just because you've asked me to.
Yeah, now that you've said
nightmare.
It. Let's talk a little bit more deeply about the white lies then, because this is a bit more than a white lie, what
this
is
about.
Yeah,
this is like, so it's the most honest pop song I've made, because it's just, you don't want to admit someone doesn't like you. The first line is, I know you don't like me, but try for me tonight.
It's so
like, that's
shit.
Not very nice.
Is it a situation that actually happened to you, or is it based around lots of various times?
Yeah, no,
you...
it's definitely happened to me. I was in a situation with a guy where
you liked
I knew
him.
He was cheating on me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was quite deep, actually. I knew he was cheating on me. And I didn't want to admit it because I loved him.
I've never had that. And
oh,
honestly,
really?
I think it's the scare. It's such a... It must have been such a horrible realisation for you to not only... Not only know, but fucking still want to do it because you like them so
trash.
Much.
My relationships, I can write songs for days about relationships. I can help other people. I give the best advice. Mine are shocking.
Yeah. You can't take your own advice.
No, never. And I get it wrong every time if I fail. Every time. It's like I go through to the room and I think, which one of you's the wrong one then? And then I'm like, come on.
Which one are you doing?
Yeah, it's like I picked the wrong one.
Well, any of her exes listening, that's the criteria, babes.
FUBAR Radio presents...
We have Joe Sutherland in the studio. You've got a proper look of Spock, haven't you, in your publicity photo?
Oh, great. Sort of emotionless, incapable of attachment.
No, I just meant physically. Physically, just the eyebrows and the hair, that's all I meant. Is that your dog?
No, so I've got a picture of me here where I'm holding a dead pretty little fluffy dog.
It's
so
a great
I've
image, that.
Borrowed a little fluffy dog called Mochi, who is a semi-famous dog, actually. They've got their own Instagram page that's growing. It's the way to be an entrepreneur these
that
days, is
that...
buy an inbred
Joe.
Pretty little dog that can barely breathe.
Joe.
And get it on Instagram.
Joe.
Every Monday. From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined by Katie Manning now in the studio. Well, you have come in like a sort of a whirling dervish,
and
haven't you?
I'm fanning myself with Matthew Broderick.
Yeah,
I don't know how he'd feel about that.
You've not to drink
I'm
over.
I'm okay with that.
You were right with that,
yeah,
right, darling?
Nice to
and
it
apparently you've not to drink over already.
Yeah, was that
yes, I have.
In the other room?
Yes, water,
you
I
nearly,
hasten
you
to
nearly
add.
Fell off your chair.
Yeah. Yes, and there's still a danger of that because I'm very physical.
Good.
Did you know what I mean? I get very excited.
Yeah.
And for a woman of my age, that's quite scary.
How old are you? Can I ask you?
Yeah, you can ask me.
Would
and I can
it?
Tell you because I can't hide it, can I?
What do you mean?
Well, you can't because everybody knows how old you are.
38.
Because of all the social... this is radio.
38-ish.
Oh, you're darling.
Around 38.
I love your hair.
About my age.
Yeah, right.
I love your hair too.
I could be your grandma, darling, because I'm 72.
Why could you not be my girlfriend?
Yeah, do you not want to be...
Do you like an older woman, darling?
I like anyone.
Who says yes.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm like, I wouldn't have any...
I just missed my mouth then. That was maybe you should not have me.
That's a good point, actually. Would there be a lot of looking after you that having to go on? Would have to like...
No, I don't. You mean this is a woman who never got married.
Did you
I don't need looking after.
No.
I always kept my own apartment, flat, whatever we want to call it these days.
Yeah.
You know, brought up children. And I'm not needy at all. In fact, quite the reverse.
Okay. It's going well so far.
Yeah. You know, but there are little areas where I'm quite needy.
All right, let's
see. But we'll talk about that later.
Where are you needy? No, we'll talk about it right now. Where are you? Do you know what? Increasingly, as I've got older myself, I think I wish to live alone, that I wish to have a place of my own, that I don't necessarily want to share my domain, as I have done previously in my life.
Well, you know, I am very, very full on. I mean, I have like hyper energy. I mean, it's actually quite, it's demented energy.
Okay.
So when I stop, Yeah. And I'm sort of aware, because I love people. I love everything. Okay. You know, I'm one of those.
Yeah.
And so when I stop, I need that moment just to sort of breathe.
Yeah.
And let the world around me happen without me being involved in it. And I make things and I love doing things. Mm. And I like that moment in a city. So I'm not talking peace and quiet. Once I see too many trees, I start to have a panic attack.
No, you can't come to my
don't
house
take
then.
Me. Oh, no, darling, no, I can't do country.
Middle of a wood, mate.
I go out and do my riding.
Right.
And I mean, you know, I've toured right across Australia. I've done all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I like the noise of the city. I like the buzz of the city. That's the dog barking.
Okay, that's fine.
this is the first I'm aware of a dog, so I was like, is it?
Oh, it's very small, and, okay. And obviously the drugs haven't kicked in.
Is this your a dog in a bag?
Yes.
Where is the dog? She's holding up a very small handbag.
Yeah, it's a very, very small dog.
My entire life is in there, darling. Not just my dog, my children, my... keeping it small. But yeah, I think, you know, it was put together so that, you know, you've got two parents for children. There are all sorts of social reasons that we were put in, churches put us together and so on and so forth. My ex-partners are all my best friends.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I think that kind of life has worked for me. I don't say everybody has to do it. My parents were really good together, but my father was away a lot. You know, I always thought when you and me become an us, that's where the problem begins.
Okay.
If you can accept your partner's growth and changes, because we're going to keep going through changes. Mm. And sometimes we want to change a partner. We think, oh yeah, you'll be great when I'm finished with you.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yes, that's true.
I wish I had a surgeon like that, darling. You'll be great when I'm finished with your face, Manning.
Well, no, but were you always like, have you always been this kind of hyper?
I think no.
It's not an objectionable hyper.
No, it is hyper though. I know I'm hyper. You know, when, you know, my children are saying, mummy, dog's still awake.
Talking about your children.
Quiet. Honestly, feeding
time. They're out of the bag.
Right, now you just sit and behave yourself. Honestly, no. That training school didn't work, did it? Wait till the children
can
start
we get,
talking
can
to
we
me.
Have some more bonkers guests in the kitchen?
Is there a dog here, or is your phone making a dog noise?
It's a dog.
My phone makes a dog.
Oh, don't ruin it.
That's what it is.
It's radio.
I'm sorry.
I thought that too.
We could have carried on thinking it was a real dog.
I wanted to, but I thought, no, let that one go. They already think I'm nuts. I grew up, because nobody knew I couldn't see,
right.
I grew up in this really weird, very insular little world.
Okay.
And all I could do was hear.
Right.
And do voices.
Okay.
So...
Why could you not say?
Sing.
Oh, sing,
see,
did you
I
say?
I thought you said C as well.
I
did say C.
C? Why could you not say?
C. S-E-E.
E?
Yeah. Oh, goody, do I get a prize?
Have a car, C.
So what was the issue with your sight?
I'm not allowed to drive, which is why there are more people walking around the street.
Yeah, they tell you it's because you're
And I have no periphery, so I don't know if people are at the side.
Oh, okay.
I've got several stigmatism, and I'm very, very myopic.
Right.
But, of course, children work very closely when you see them doing things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really till we got to school, and I was really weird, because I didn't know who was my friend that I'd made that day, because I couldn't recognise. And so I grew up in this very little world where it was sound... colour that I lived with.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we got the first television and we were one of the first people to get a TV. Right?
Yeah. And you still showed off our
internet. And Daddy said, "Ooh, look what we've got, darling." And I'm walking around going, I can't see anything we've got. Because I knew all the blurs.
Yeah.
And so Daddy put the television on. I think Liberace was on at the time. That should have stopped me ever wanting to see it, shouldn't it? No, I'm sorry. I'm so flippant. I get into trouble for my children for
being
flippant.
I don't think he'll complain.
I think he's all right.
Well, you never know, honey. Don't we? No.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
Welcome into the studio, the Blinders. Welcome, gentlemen. How was Hamburg?
Hamburg is an interesting one because the place we were playing is like where the Beatles cut their teeth, isn't it? You know, yeah. What's it, a Reeper Barn?
It's very seedy.
Fucking seedy, man, yeah.
Yeah.
Really seedy.
Board, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
It was right on the edge of the red light district. And a couple of my family went over and they were like, oh yeah, come and meet us up for a drink. You know, we're just over the road in the Hooters. It's like, is my nana there with you? It's like, yeah. It's like, it's the only bar open. So they dragged my nana into a Hooters and I couldn't believe it.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
It's now time to welcome into the show my guest at this time, Michael MF Tomlinson.
Hey, Joey.
How's it going?
Thanks for the intro. No one's really ready for anything. We're born alone. We die alone. So I think that was a brilliant, you know, introduction. Yeah.
Let's start at the top. MF, I'm guessing has got something to do with Michael, right?
That stands for Michael Francis.
Right, okay, cool. Because yeah. I was obviously, before I knew anything about, obviously only thinking about MF Doom.
MF Doom, right.
And because I know, like, I read some of your stuff and, like, referenced to sort of some of the types of music that you're a bit influenced by, and, like, there's almost, like, a bit of almost hip-hop sounding production on this. I was like, maybe it is a nod to MF Doom. I don't know.
I mean, I make these songs with a whole bunch of people, you know, including Ed and Angus are two musicians that I, like, work and write with. Me and Angus wrote the song together, and Ed, you know, together we kind of form it. So we're all really into, like, hip-hop and, like, all sorts of, like, I don't know, like, just, like, grooves, you know, and their sort of richness or their knowledge of music brings so much to the song. So yeah, but there is a massive hip-hop influence, so yeah, so thanks for picking up on that.
But I was like, well, who knows, it could be you could be trying to start a direct beef with MF Doom.
I was definitely not trying to start any beef with
MF Doom.
That
would be quite cool if it happened.
It's an excellent association. He's one of the best.
Oh yeah, he's almost like so good, like he tries to be so esoteric.
I mean, he's definitely like sort of like rappers like Action Bronson, and even sort of, I don't know, like, I think Earl Sweatshirt's, like not his most latest record, but, like, you know, I think...
Yeah, I like Earl Sweatshirt a lot.
And MF Doom, I think, has been so influential. I'm not, like, I don't know everything about rap, so please, no. Hip-hop fans, please, you know, I'm probably pretty prosumer.
Let's go on to this project, right?
Yeah, so yeah, you, MF Tomlinson.
You kind of started to talk to me a little bit about that in terms of, like, the people you've been working with and stuff. But was there any kind of, like, placeholder in your mind for the sound before you started, or is it something that's kind of developed as you've gone along? And I say developed, I've only obviously heard the one track, so that's all you've put out so far, but as a sound, do you have a vision for the project?
I got into this actual compilation put out by Soul Jazz, and it's called Can You Dig It? And it's the music and politics of black action films in the 70s. And so it has things like Across 110th Street and the Shaft theme and so many more, like Brothers Gonna Work It Out, like all these incredible tunes and incredible arrangements, so lush and rich. And so yeah, just I was listening to that, and I was also like, you know, got into like John Cale, Vintage Violence, right. And like Bill Fay, like really singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah,
and yeah, I just started to listen to a lot of that kind of long format kind of storytelling music that has a big sort of production. And yeah, just kind of always had in my head, because I'm like 32 and I've been in bands since I was like 17, and you know, that's what I mainly have done my whole life.
Yeah.
So I always thought to myself that one day I would do like a record that's sort of inspired by, you know, like Transformer in essence.
It's absolutely.
These songs are kind of like, you're Transformer if it's me, like if I'm Lou Reed. So
you've transformed into, oh, this is a bad pun.
But you know what I mean? So yeah, there's lots of influences, not just black music, like beautiful, soulful, like orchestral arrangements they hear on Nature Boy. There's also like, I guess it's sort of got a lot of canon going on, and it's kind of like me trying to be contemporary songwriter, but in the vein of Leonard Cohen or Isaac Hayes or someone with, like, you know, telling stories about your experience of life.
Yeah, right.
And being quite like true and just being myself, basically.
It's like a great piece of advice that never got given to me, but I heard it was like David Bowie always used to surround himself with the best people he could.
Mm.
Whereas most people, the tendency is to kind of, I want to be the best one in that gang, but it's actually, if everyone else is better than you, then they're going to raise your game, and I think that's so smart.
Let me assure you that everyone else that I get around with is definitely better than me.
Yeah. So, tell us about Nature Boy, because it's an incredible piece of music, and
Thank you.
Just want to know how you basically dreamt that up. How did this come about?
Well, me and Angus, like, the first time we got together, we just came up with the chords, and I went like, da-da-da-da-da-da, and I spent like a really long time trying to play it. Anyway, on the guitar. Anyway, so that's it. Just it was one of the first things that happened for this project. And the idea of the song is essentially like, it's a true story about how I used to have really long hair and sort of like commune with trees and have like crystals and stuff. I was right. Like a total
Nature Boy.
I was a total hippie, yeah, like, and hipster and slightly mental when I first moved to London. And I'm very happy for that because I'm less mental now, but I'm still pleased because I'm still slightly mental inside. And that's very positive and useful.
It's great for creativity.
Yeah, it's just, anyway, so the point is that I'm making fun of myself, but, and in the song I am too, but I used to believe strongly that everything happened for a reason, you know, things like are all right, you know, that mm-hmm. was my was kind of like drawing on like holistic, maybe Buddhist philosophies or whatever. But I think that in like 2019, you know, post 2016, and just like, obviously I'm a white man and I, obviously white man, but I am. And, you know, like, I've grown up with privilege and a lot of people have. And I feel like there's an increasing awareness about the world and how messed up it is. And that awareness has accelerated really rapidly.
Yeah,
like,
right.
For me personally, I can only speak for my own. But yeah, people are discovering all these dark corners of our culture. And the more you dig, the darker it is. So the song's really about how Eden Arbez is talking about in this song, Nature Boy. Lyrically, this is what the song about. He's saying the greatest thing you ever learn is to love and be loved in return. That's really nice. But actually, in sort of 2019, you start to think, that's not all you need. Like, this idea that you can just be a good person and try to be a good person isn't really enough. Like, yeah. Because there's so many people trying to be bad.
You know, yeah, you've got to counteract them. You've got to be double good.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Sleeping, thinking you were it, laughing like I've got it. I don't think you know what you're talking, but I got it any, laughing anyway.
Among us now is Velvet Negroni.
The Velvet Negroni, homie, the one and only.
You create these ethereal kind of R&B masterpieces.
Do you do all the production on it as well?
Yeah, I'm a backseat productionist.
Love that. I guess I've never really kind of tried to see it from the perspective of someone who always sees music as much
always
as they hear
always,
it.
Yeah,
I've heard stories about like Burial saying some shit like that. He's like, yeah, like once I get the wave looking like this, like basically looks like a fish like this, then I know that it's good.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. Fubar Radio.
I should introduce our special Jeez. Guest co-host now. She goes by the name of Shiesty. It's an absolute pleasure to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Got Wulu.
Safe.
How did you come up with the name Wulu? That's my first question.
So when I was like a teenager, I was kind of following Rastafari and I was checking out Amharic at the time, and then I found the word Wuha, which meant water. So I thought, oh yeah, that would be nice, man. Like, I like the idea of like not fitting into a box, basically.
Yeah,
but then I thought, you know, as I guess everyone's gonna laugh at the Wuha in the Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. That was Busta Rhymes.
So I didn't want to be in these kind of situations and be like, yeah, so we're doing the show and then start playing Wuha. So I changed it to Lu because I thought it was a bit more fluid. And then later on, I actually found out that a Wulu is this kind of like Chinese vase thing that holds like spirits and like dragons and stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought, all right, that kind of works, but that was the kind of like ethos behind
okay,
it.
Okay, because the first thing I saw, the first thing I thought, should I say, when I saw the name was Chinese culture. You know?
Right, yeah.
I did think of some kind of, obviously because of Wu-Tang Clan,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of co-opting that name from Chinese culture. The monks, weren't they? Yeah, Shaolin monks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, no, now that we've got that cleared up.
Yeah, it's always like a thing when I explain it, I'm like, I kind of made it up, and but it means water to me.
Yeah,
essentially
yeah.
being fair fluid play. And just trying to be
flow.
As, yeah,
in and out of shapes.
Absolutely. So you were thinking about fluidity like from ages ago, years ago.
Yeah, just I always kind of feel like music is a thing where your mind changes as you listen to new stuff and as you get older and that sort of thing. And I've always thought that I didn't want to be able to get put in a box to say, you are this, you are a producer, or you are a singer, or you are whatever. Yeah. So I just thought from the jump, I'm just going to be as sort of fluid as I can with my thinking
and
just not really kind of think about it and not think about it too much.
Yeah, just I hear that.
Whatever feels good.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
just put it out.
And you've got a love of acronyms as well, it seems.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So my brother, he would always say to me that the things I come up with were like always too long.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, you know, I kind of, this is what this music makes me feel like. Like, Naze is not as it seems.
Yeah, of course.
Because it was like I was trying to come out of the sort of beat stuff and kind of focus more on the more guitar-based stuff that I was doing.
Yeah.
So I wanted people to kind of like grasp that this isn't what you think it's going to be.
Mm.
And then Sufos was the idea of like, it's going through a lot of stuff, family and a lot of political stuff at the time.
Mm.
And I felt like with the shift in the country and what that means for like a lot of youth, I just kind of thought that that was a cool title.
Absolutely. See, and it really rolls off the tongue as a word, Sufos. And
yeah.
then, and I have to say, on my life, right,
yeah.
I knew what it meant before I even read.
Really?
I swear to God,
sick.
I saw it and I was like, I bet that stands for save us from ourselves. I just fucking knew it. And it did. I knew it.
Well, that's great, man. That's amazing. That's actually really heartwarming that that came to you. That's,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
brilliant. That's brilliant.
It's just one of those things, I guess. Some acronyms really make sense, and you can kind of, like, you'll see a lot of the time acronyms, they're used a lot now because of social media, IMOs and FYIs and IRLs, and sometimes it's just kind of common sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think I'd, you know, I'd read about you and I'd listened to some of the tunes, and I thought, that can only mean save us from ourselves, you know what I mean?
Well, mate, I appreciate that.
No, no, not at all. The new video just dropped very recently, right?
Yeah, it dropped, I guess, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And you've cut your hair since then, haven't you?
Yeah. I kind of do that on each of my releases over the last kind of couple of years.
Oh, super different look.
Just kind of like reset.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know
that makes
mean?
Sense. I cut my dreads off quite, well, not recently, maybe about, Jesus, when was it?
A year ago?
Yeah, maybe about a year ago.
Them ones. I know that I used to have locks too.
Yeah.
Had long. Yeah, same thing. I just finished some work. I was like, right.
It's like molting, isn't it? Or coming out of like a cocoon, being like a chrysalis or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
That stuff that butterflies and caterpillars do.
That's
is.
A big thing to cut your hair as well, like dreads or,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? That
yeah, but the thing is, I'd only had dreads for like 3 years, maybe, three
okay.
or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nowhere near most of my life.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I kind of, it just felt like going back mm-hmm. to normal rather than a massive change,
you
know? How did it feel for you? Did you grow up with like
no,
dreads or long
hair? Didn't grow up with dreads. My mum had locks. She still does now. It was kind of like a thing I kind of came into with all the people I was hanging out with at the time.
Yeah.
And the sort of elders that I was around, it just kind of felt like something to seek out.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was definitely a journey.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of felt like along the way, I just thought, you know what, like, because kind of going back to where I feel like I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I felt like on that journey, there was a few things that I was a bit confused about.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought instead of wearing the sign that I'm going down a certain path, I'll just cut it off and start again.
Okay.
Fubar Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Charlie Hickson.
Hello there.
You're an absolute legend.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. I'm almost mythological.
I saw an interview. I watched lots of Chris Honey. I saw an interview with him. And apparently they said to them, my agent was talking to the producers of Harry Potter. And they said, oh, we have a marvellous part here that he could play in Harry Potter. And the producer of Harry Potter said, no, because he's already played a wizard in The Lord of the Rings. And he goes, I mean, that's what's wrong with filmmaking this country.
every Friday.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
You're joined in the studio by Harriet Kemsley. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Got you these.
Oh, candy sticks with a tattoo.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They look quite old.
They're not. They're new.
35p though. You'd think that's quite cheap for things nowadays.
Normally people just say thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And just tell us what the tattoo was. Either open it now or write in.
Okay. Would you want me to write in?
You can. Send us a postcard.
Maybe send us an Instagram of you wearing the tattoo.
I can't get into
it. That's okay. It's low pressure.
Oh, God, I feel very stressed. you don't
have to open it now.
I don't have very long nails.
Low pressure.
It says don't eat it.
Yeah, don't eat that.
I like that it tells you not to eat the tattoo. What is that?
Oh, it's nice.
What is it?
It says...
If you peel that back, that means that you have to use it.
Do you want to have a tattoo? Come here. I'm going to put it on that.
I think you need some...
On his arm. It's a very nice message.
I think you need water, don't you?
Oh. You need water. Have you not ever had a press-on tattoo before?
Yeah.
How does that work? Is this going to work?
I'm not sure.
Harriet is attempting to pour water on me.
Peel the paper and then place tattoo on the hand. Oh, I think they want it on your hand.
You don't have to...
It's put it on the hand.
I think they want it on your hand. Who are they?
Be careful. Which hand are you going to get your hand stamped when you go clubbing later?
Oh, yeah, because they might get confused. Just putting some water on.
I went to a pub.
Yes. Put water on.
Be gentle and don't move.
Because otherwise, if you move it slightly, it'll break the tattoo. So you need to.
Seems to be very gentle.
Wet the tattoo, press down.
Done that.
For 20 seconds.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
It's actually been on for longer though, so.
Is that about.
I think I'm right. Oh my goodness, I'm going to peel it off.
Okay.
Oh, it's lovely.
It's quite nice. It's a Superman shield.
Yeah.
And it has the word powerful written above it.
Oh, that's great.
So I feel powerful now and empowered.
You can show that to people if they're in doubt.
I feel empowered.
I can't imagine that.
Feeling WTF? Powerful.
WTF? Oh.
I really feel powerful.
That's great. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you, Harris.
Yeah, you are so welcome. Oh, thank you, Nick, actually.
The first guest that we've had that's actually fully embraced the tattoo.
Oh, really? Everyone else hates it?
No, they don't hate it. They just go, thank you, and put it in their pocket and then go home.
Oh, sorry. I
guess they're
going
to do it privately at home.
Oh, so they... But that's actually... I took to it, you know, other people. That's quite rude.
Yeah, no, I think you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. On our pre-record that we did yesterday, someone actually got the actual Bat logo. And I really wanted it.
Oh.
Sad, isn't it? I'm 38. I know.
You could get your own tattoo now at 38. You could actually go and get one.
Get a real one.
Yeah, go and get a real one.
I think I will do. I'm going to get the Bat logo.
Yeah, across your back.
Across my eyes.
Across your eyes, yes.
So that I constantly look like Robin.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
From the Chris O'Donnell. For the Chris O'Donnell movies. That's what I call them. The Chris O'Donnell. Is his name O'Donnell or O'Donnell?
O'Donnell.
Oh, Chris O'Donnell. What a steamboat.
I don't know who that is.
Again. You don't know who Chris O'Donnell is?
No.
Come on. Fried green tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe?
Oh, yeah.
He plays Birdie.
Nope, don't know.
He's the brother at the beginning that gets caught on the train lines and, spoiler alert, killed. Murdered by a train.
Is that murder?
Murdered by a train.
Yeah.
Is it murder? Yeah, is it murder?
Is it murder if you get hit by a train?
It depends on the train's intent.
There you go. That's Chris O'Donnell.
Oh.
I never actually really got on with Chris O'Donnell, I have to say.
Really liked him.
I didn't. I felt like he was like a pretender to the throne.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Oh, yes. This one's for those of you just ain't woke yet, Hotep. You rich but you broke, nigga, just don't know yet, Hotep. These rappers ain't woke yet, security back them, Hotep. Hotep, come to Detroit with that, oh yes, that's a toe tech. Might as well have Mayweather back you at a Blacks match a protest. That's that write a check you can't cash, I might have to collect. That's that yo ass is bleeding, that's that Kotex. I massacre your whole rap allegiance. Oh yes, this one's for lil bro who big bro ain't come back from the stove yet. Hotep, I'm here for blessings, sent my direction, no less. This one's for those who don't know they pops not invincible yet. Trick bitches, hoes that don't know just how nasty they are. They out here wearing the same tongue ring, they ain't changed from 10 dicks ago yet. Hopefully that scope on that AR don't take my focus to places where I put fakers in comas longer than daytime soapers. Any calendar day, I'll Halloween like late October. I'll bury these niggas up under the devil's playground, playtime's over. Your bitch fine, dog, I can't deny it. She trying to be my wife on the side, I ain't buying it. I just step over the ring and hit the bitch like Andre the Giant. Papa used to beat on me often for not being perfect. Thoughts used to call me Tar Baby, cops taught me that I'd be worthless. Mama gave birth to only one dark child like Rodney Jerkins. That taught me to focus on what's inside y'all and not the surface.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.